questions, BNQ. Welcome tonight to a very special episode where for the first time we are venturing into the world of video game. Yes, that's right. Tonight we're going to be discussing two of video game's most venerated franchises on this BNQ episode 13. We're talking about Pokemon and the Elder Scrolls. Just how are we going to combine those? You'll find out in a second. But first, there is a sponsorship to deal with. Matt, who's our sponsor tonight?
Well, Josh, tonight's sponsor is Ma Ketchum's Pallet Town Grill. Ma Ketchum's Pallet Town Grill. Gotta cook 'em all. Come see us on Route 1 on the edge of Pallet Town.
You know, I love that place. Their fried Magikarp is delish.
Oh, it's the best.
It's amazing. But you gotta catch it at the right time, because if you eat it a little bit too soon, it'll get kind of, you know, taste like Gyarados. You don't want to eat Gyarados. I do want to introduce our panel tonight, of course. We have Josh.
Hey.
We have Rachel, welcome back.
Hello.
And you've already heard him, you love him, it's Matt.
Some love may be a strong word.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, perhaps I should say amore, because I do want to welcome specifically, we have a lot of listeners overseas. So we'd like to welcome our listeners in Germany, the United Kingdom, and France, as well as we have potentially a listener, we think, if the analytics are correct, from the Maldives. So thank you very much to all of our international listeners. We love you so much. Molto bene for being with us. So thank you very much indeed. And we do have something we want to recommend for you.
To kind of give a more Elder Scrolls tone, I don't know if you guys have heard of this podcast, but I am a big fan of the podcast Hello from the Magic Tavern.
Okay.
It is wonderful. It is hilarious. And it's done by an improv group based out of Chicago. What happens is Arnie Niekamp, the host of the podcast, just fell through a magic portal out back behind a Burger King drive-thru and has mysteriously landed in the land of Foon. That is F-O-O-N, Foon.
I like this already.
he hosts a weekly podcast from the Vermilion Minotaur in the town of, blanking on the name of the town that it's in now. But yes, he hosts a weekly podcast from the Vermilion Minotaur along with his co-hosts Usador and Chunt. And it's hilarious. There's almost 80 episodes out now. And the episodes are less than a half hour each. So give it a listen. It's great.
Perfect. And will you say that name one more time for our listeners?
Hello from the Magic Tavern.
Hello from the Magic Tavern. But we are talking about Pokemon and the Elder Scrolls. So we wanted to talk about two of our most beloved franchises. And it's not enough to have an episode where you say, I used to be a Pokemon catcher like you, but then I took a Pokeball to the knee. Not enough to have a whole episode based on that, so we decided to think about what would happen if there was a crossover. Specifically, one of the best things about the Elder Scrolls is having a companion by your side who can do your dirty work, do your fighting for you, could sometimes be your beast of burden and carry all your crap that you find in every single cave, and occasionally give you some witty banter. Pokemon are loyal, and they are good companions. So which Pokemon would be the best companion in the Elder Scrolls? A few ground rules we're going to cover in this episode. First, Mew and Mewtwo, we love you, but you're not eligible. You would break the game if you haven't already broken your own series. Also, we're limiting our choices to the first 151 Pokemon. We know those the best, but we're sure that there are some later Pokemon that one might fit better. So if you have later Pokemon that you think would be good choices, let us know those in your comments or emails or tweets. We'd love to hear from those. But for our discussion, we're keeping to the original 151. As far as Elder Scrolls go, if you haven't played Elder Scrolls, just a brief primer. Elder Scrolls is an RPG game from Bethesda. It might be their masterpiece, although Fallout is just as good in a very different way. It is in the vein of Lord of the Rings kind of style. You have different kinds of races like elves. Dark elves is a major one. Dwarves, although you never see them. You do have dragons in Skyrim. You can use spellcraft. You can be a thief. You can use a sword and shield and just go balls to the wall and attack things. You can spend your whole time exploring. You can spend your whole time collecting every single sword in every single town and putting them in a chest in your house for no good reason.
I did that with apples.
There you go. So, and the three games that are played the most often in the Elder Scrolls, I think, are the three most recent, Morrowind, Oblivion, and Skyrim. And then, of course, Pokemon, you know it, you love it. And if you're just playing Pokemon, Pokemon Go, you know, we're focusing on, you know, we're old school Pokemon fans. You know, we played Red and Blue and Yellow when they came out all those years ago. So Pokemon primarily on Game Boy, but anything Nintendo, of course, also spawned the card game, the anime, so much to do with Pokemon, and we're just going to do a mashup here, because like Glee, we like a good mashup. So, Josh, would you like to get the ball rolling? And I think we're going to first talk about what you want in an Elder Scrolls companion. So when you think about Elder Scrolls, what do you want in the person that's venturing into the cave with you?
A lot of things come to mind. Of course, loyalty is the number one. You definitely don't want to get into a cave full of bandits and have your companion turn on you. Also, you want some courage. You don't want them to be scared off by certain things. And I think those two right there eliminate a lot of possible Pokemon companions. On top of that, I would not want to bring a beast with me that would either steal the show, you know, where I would be the sidekick if I was the hero in the Elder Scrolls. I also wouldn't want to bring in a beast that would be misunderstood and terrorize the land of Tamriel if I brought it in. Example would be, I wouldn't want to bring in another dragon like Charizard to come in to save the day, because he will definitely have tons and tons of arrows shot at him from people who just don't get it.
Maybe you could absorb Charizard's soul. I don't know if it works that way.
Find out.
You could. It wouldn't be a good companion for long, though. Rachel, what do you think you're looking for in an Elder Scrolls companion?
I usually play either bow wielding or magic wielding, or sometimes both. So I kind of look at a Pokemon companion more like a familiar, and, you know, less of a, you know, carrying my burdens, and more of a, you know, if I want to play an ice or a frost style mage, maybe I want an ice type following me around to kind of like go with the, you know, like a mage's familiar. So I'm looking at it more of a flavor way and less of a practicality way, although that's also incredibly important. And yeah, Josh P has a point. You definitely don't want to have a dragon type or something that looks, you know, uniquely like a dragon type. Of course, you're the dragonborn, so, you know. But at the same time, you don't want something to be openly hostile. Although Charizard would probably kick everyone's butt anyway, so and then you would just have that many guards chasing after you. So,
true.
I look at it more like a minion, or not so much a minion or familiar.
Although with Charizard, I would see a problem if you're trying to play a sneak style.
Oh yeah, if you could even get through the cave.
That's another problem. Some of the Pokemon might be too large for some of the
areas.
Yeah, Snorlax.
Yeah. Okay, Snorlax, hide behind that table.
Yeah, I'm picturing the really tight corridors in Morrowind. I don't think Snorlax is going to fit.
No, you're correct. You're
I just
absolutely
don't think
correct.
He would. I mean, he might roll, but I don't think he's going to fit that well.
I for one, would love to see Aerodactyl trying to stay down and hide, follow you as you're going through the Emperor's ship.
You could just use Snorlax to, you know, plug up the cave after you go in it. I mean, he does typically not let you get to places you want to get to in Pokemon.
No survivors.
Yeah. Or you could, if we could argue that you could put the Pokemon in their Pokeball, you know, and then take them out later, so they're not literally always following you behind, then you could use him, like, dropping an anvil from the sky. I don't know.
Oh, you want to attack me, little worm?
Like, can drop a Smash Brothers.
You can just smash all the cave spiders, just like, boom, you're dead.
Yeah, and who's going to hose that off? Because you know Snorlax ain't going to do it himself. He can't reach.
Snorlax,
well, he has the same problem as T-Rex.
I'm not touching cave spider squish. Not doing it.
Well,
That's
why you carry a water Pokemon with you. Not like Hydro Cannon, or sorry, Hydro Pump, but something like a, what is it, Water Gun? Just keep a some of the water gun and spray
keep
off your
squirrel around for washing your Snorlax.
That would be the most depressed Squirtle ever.
Your only role in life is to wash off Snorlax when I use him to crush vermin.
Do Pokemon commit suicide? We're about to find out.
You know, Ash wouldn't make me do this. I had a good life when I was with Ash.
Hashtag depressed Squirtle.
Wow.
So, Matt, what do you think of as the defining characteristics of an Elder Scrolls companion?
Okay, well, we're in our 13th episode, so by now you guys and the listeners know me probably a little well. So I'm always going to have set criteria, and some of them will probably not always be the best idea.
True that.
So my first criteria is versatility. Mm. I'm going to want a companion that's not... I'm not going to go with water types, because they're mostly restricted to the water. Oh yeah, I'm sure that Goldeen is really going to help me on the side of a mountain. So, they have to be able to go into any environment that I'm able to go into. So, you know, they don't need to be underwater for long periods of time, because I can't hold my breath that long, because frankly, I don't do a lot of swimming in these games. So I need them to be able to go into caves, into small areas. I need them to be able to fight, because make no mistake, they're going to be getting in some scrapes, especially in circumstances where there's no good reason for fighting. My second criteria is going to be entertainment value.
Of course.
Because this is me. Let's face it, you guys saw this come.
Yes, we did.
The second you wrote the sentence that was the premise of this episode, you knew I was going here.
Oh, yeah.
What am I saying? Meow. That's right.
my Pokemon has to have some special something about them that I find personally entertaining.
The ability to block up a cave wall.
Yeah, Snorlax is a pretty hilarious Pokemon, just because of the comedic effects you can have. Now, Snorlax is not going to be one of the ones that I present for reviewing today, but it's an example.
Matt, you strike me as the kind of guy that when playing Elder Scrolls games, you just keep messing around on the side quests and just going around, screwing off, and never actually completing the games. That sound like you?
Bingo!
Okay, I have beaten Elder Scrolls 1 through 4. I will say that.
All right.
I do, however, have about 600 hours into Skyrim, and I'm about halfway through the main quest. On this save. I think this is like my 20th character. I've got 600 hours on the character. I don't even want to know what level he is at this point.
9,000.
No. But I will say that I may or may not have a series of chests hidden throughout the game that probably have a combined total of about 12,000 apples in
them. Gotta catch them all.
And last I checked, I believe I was carrying about 120 pounds of cheese.
That's the real deal.
If it ain't nailed down, you're taking it.
Yeah, Lydia hates me. She pretty much just carries things that I'm going to sell.
like apples and cheese.
That sounds about right.
No, I never sell the apples or the cheese.
Tell me you always eat them.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, I generally try and use eat for eating because I'm trying to get my apple and cheese numbers up.
Or alchemy. Please tell me you do that.
Well, what I like to do, carry like as much food on me as I can, because then if I'm in a fight and I'm about to die, I basically binge eat instantaneously like 100 pounds of food. And I just imagine that has to be a terrifying thing to see. Oh, I'm bleeding out. You've wounded me quite severely. I'm just going to start swallowing apples whole without breaking eye contact with and resume stabbing.
You know, you're giving me a great idea. In the next Elder Scrolls game, they need to make a mechanic where if you eat an apple, it still leaves you the core and you can use it as a projectile with your bow and arrow.
Jesus, stab wound and it healed. I don't get it.
So what we're saying is the Black Knight in Monty Python, when he had his flesh wound, should have just eaten an apple. He'd be fine.
Yeah, basically, I'm Black Knight from Monty Python when I play Elder Scrolls. Really.
Yeah, but once he loses both of his arms, how's he going to eat it?
You know, with his feet.
Life.
Actually, that's what the companion's for, to feed him.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah, Lydia's just gotta feed him like grapes on an emperor and just like om nom nom.
See, they got around that in Fallout by making it slowly regenerate your health, so you couldn't just go to a menu and eat like 20 apples. If you tabbed out too quickly, you would just die by getting peed on.
Yeah, stim packs were the only thing that makes it quicker, I think, in Fallout 4.
Yes.
So I'm guessing they'll do the same thing in the new Elder Scrolls, unless there's a mod that changes it back to the old ways, because there's always mods.
That's exactly why I use PC, so good times.
So I want to ask you, sorry, Matt, you have entertainment value. Is there another criteria?
I think that's going to be my big two, is versatility and entertainment value, because you're not always going to be in a fight, unless you're me.
So I want to ask the three of you, do you think that the ability to make independent decisions is important? Because sometimes the companions, to go out a level, meta level, the AI for some of the companions in the Elder Scrolls isn't very good. For some of them it is good, but oftentimes you'll be sneaking around and then they start attacking a character that you didn't want to attack, you wanted to avoid, or they're attacking them in a way that won't work. For example, to go with Rachel's point, for a familiar, they're attacking them using a method that will not have any effect on this particular kind of character. But in Pokemon, the characters pretty much only attack if you tell them what to do, with a few exceptions. So to what extent do you want to have that responsibility in the heat of battle when you're fighting, a Draugr down in the middle of a cavern, of calling out to your companion across on the other side of the caverns to now use beam, hyper beam?
I honestly hadn't thought of that. That's a very good point. Your Growlithe is not going to instantly attack anyone who comes and sees you. It has to wait for you to tell it to bite.
Also, what if there's friendly fire? Because Hyper Beam can be a problem.
Yeah. So are there any Pokemon that will attack without being commanded to?
Yeah, if you don't have badges.
That's true. That is true.
When they're confused, they attack.
When they are confused, they will attack themselves or the other Pokemon randomly. And if you go to the TV show, some of the Pokemon they encounter are much more capable of higher thought than some of the other ones that you meet. Like Ghastly is a villain in one of the episodes, and Ghastly pretty much controlled his own destiny. He didn't really have a master.
And Meowth can obviously think on his own.
Right.
Well, yeah, he does most of them not think for him.
You'd think, wouldn't you?
I mean, that is a problem that you might run into with some of these Pokemon so take it up to the next level. They won't attack without being commanded, but will Pokemon defend themselves if they're being attacked?
Yes.
Ones in the wild will, yeah.
Yeah, well, they're wild animals.
So they will, yeah. Okay. So maybe that's something to take into consideration.
I mean, unless you get a farm-raised Bulbasaur.
I would love to see a farm that specializes in raising Bulbasaur.
It's like, well, do you plant them? Do you breed them? Do you breed them and then plant them?
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B?
Well, actually, the KSPCP, they outlawed Pokemon farming recently. Yeah, Kanto Society for the Prevention of Cruelty Against Pokemon.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's no more Bulbasaur farming.
They take away all our fun. Man, all of it.
Sorry. We can definitely edit that out if that was terrible.
No, I'm going to keep that in because for once I'm not the one making the worst pun. So, well done, nice. Sir. Thank you.
Apply cool water to burned area.
So I'm a fire type is what you're saying? So is there a Pokemon that's an aloe vera type? No.
Ivysaur.
Poison Ivysaur. No.
Yeah.
That's a bat
Pokemon that would kill me for 600, Alex.
So we've got entertainment value, we've got loyalty, we've got versatility, perhaps aggressiveness, although that's debatable, and we've got adaptability based on flavor, I think is a good way to put your argument, Rachel. So that being said, I think it's now time to turn to specific Pokemon and evaluate their merits. Rachel, do you want to offer your first pick as a potential companion?
Well, right now I'm actually looking at ones that are the funniest because of Matt. Thanks very much. actually, if we could go to someone else first, that would be good.
That's okay. So I think now is the time to turn to some recommendations. Matt, why don't you give us your first one since you're talking about entertainment value and such?
Well, as we all know, I'm a terrible person. And because of that, I have to go with possibly the highest potential entertainment value Pokemon that you can possibly have out of, I would argue, any generation. Ditto. I'm sorry. Ditto has an insane level of versatility, and frankly, it'd be hilarious.
It's especially funny because every Pokemon that Ditto evolves to still keeps Ditto's goofy little face.
Yes!
And no one seems to notice.
And can only say Ditto.
Hey, Ditto, do you think we should go into this cave? Ditto.
So, here's my thought. Okay, you're up against, like, one of the Dragon Priests, or, actually, no, let's go all the way. Let's take this all the way to its logical conclusion. Alduin. You're fighting Alduin. Oh, okay, yes, I have to fight the Dragonborn. Big deal. Go, Ditto. Okay, I have to fight the Dragonborn and a chewed piece of gum. And you start swinging on Alduin, and he's looking at you, and suddenly he gets busted upside the side of the head by Alduin with a doofy Ditto face. So now, Alduin's trapped in a mirror match against himself, and the Dragonborn's there going after him. You just won at life. You can go pretty much anywhere if you've got a Ditto. All you have to do is grab him by his doofy little head, toss him into a room. He turns into whoever's in the room, punches him out, lets you in, and you walk right through the castle. I mean, let's face it, not a lot of people get to meet the Emperor. How do they know he doesn't have a doofy face and is mute?
How do they know he's not already a Ditto?
Plot dun, twist.
Dun, dun.
Plot twist, the Emperor is a Ditto.
Why does the Emperor always agree with everything we're saying? Well, he just says Ditto. Oh, crap.
He was very sheltered growing up.
He only knows one word.
Not the most developed.
I like where you're going there. I think Ditto is a promising choice. But we're going to move on. And Josh, who's your first Pokemon you want to throw in the ring?
I will do... I'm going to actually throw in Growlithe or Arcanine. I mean, really, they can be interchangeable. Mm-hmm. They're dogs. Dogs are awesome, first off. And when I usually play Elder Scrolls games, I'm a big Nord carrying a big hammer, or I am a stealthy Khajiit. I usually play two different Elder Scrolls saves when I play those games. And what I could really use some help from is from a companion that knows their way around some magic spells. The element that I choose is not too picky. But hey, man, fire-breathing dog, count me in. So, the loyalty. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm thinking just like the dog meat Fallout 4, but can also breathe fire, which is badass.
So it's dog meat with a flamethrower? Yeah, buy that for a dollar.
Yeah, that would be amazing. And I think he fits a lot of the criteria we've talked about. I mean, you can't get more loyal than a dog.
No, definitely not. There's maybe one or two other possibilities that might come close on the loyalty side. That would be the main reason why I would choose Growlithe or Arcanine to start with.
What do you guys think about that choice?
I like it.
Yeah.
Works for me.
Plus, fuzzy.
Aww.
Very, very fuzzy.
Arcanines are huge anyway. Aren't they like 5 or 6 feet tall?
I don't know.
They're big.
Shut up.
Give me 1 second. I just had it up.
But they're still
Arcanines
fuzzy.
Are 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's a big
dog. And 341 pounds.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You walk down the street with an Arcanine, no one's messing with you. Like, some of the dragons might think twice.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, humans and a dog the size of a large human. Nah, I'm out.
I mean, that's
pretty much.
So, would he be a great Nord instead of a great Dane?
Wow.
Yes, yes.
Skyrim belongs to the Growlithe.
Growlithe, Growlithe, do, where are you? We've got some huffing for you now. Another crossover that we'll have to work on. No, just no Scrappy-Doo. For the love of God, no Scrappy-Doo in either franchise.
Scrappy-Doo can die in a fire.
Scrappy-Doo, the Jar Jar Binks of Saturday morning cartoons.
That might be a little harsh.
On which one?
Damn. That's cold-blooded.
I am
there.
Full of burns today.
And it's cold-blooded right now.
Man,
there.
I got more burn than Charizard, yo.
Wow.
On that note, Rachel, do we have your first nominee?
Well, the more I think I have it figured out, the more I get confused. But since I have two, I am going to use my first one, and I know this is kind of cheesy, and you're all either going to laugh at me or say, aw, but I'm going to go with Oddish. Because aww, it's a cute, it's only 12, it's a foot tall, or about a foot and a half, it's 12 pounds. If I have to, you know, book ass with it, I can. It's cute, it's someone out on the defensive side. So it's pretty versatile. And, you know, you've also got the whole, you know, what the hell is this factor? Because the other people are going to look at it like, again, what the hell is this? And then it's going to cast, you know, Giga Drain or Petal Dance or something and kick its butt. It also has things like Acid and Poison Powder and Stun Spore and Sleep Powder. So it's quite versatile, as Matt brought up. And so, yeah, it's cute. Yeah, I do kind of, you know, I do kind of like the cute ones. But also, you know, I could also use it to, like, I could use it for stealth. Like, I could stick it in the corner of a cave and pretend it's a Nurn root. And when something goes over to it, just boom, stun spore or whatever.
So you're going to use it for mugging people.
Well, it depends on if my character is on the gray morality scale or not.
Got to get so, that precious.
This is
man.
You we're talking about. Of course your character is going to have questionable morality.
Well, I do tend to be on the gray morality scale.
Well, it would be the cutest member of the Dark Brotherhood, so.
I don't usually Brotherhood, though, but I do sometimes, so.
Well, my question with Oddish, though, is I would be a little worried about people mistaking it for a mandrake.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but you also don't want, you know, mandrakes are poisonous, so they would still have to handle care.
Never go to the alchemist shop.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, that was one thing I was thinking about. So I suppose if I wanted a bigger version of Oddish, I could just go with a Venusaur.
Oh, that's a good choice.
At least they get Solar Beam. But yeah, no, I was going for Oddish because it was a bit more on the versatile side, and, you know.
That actually is going to be my next one, just so you know.
I figured. then you can have Venusaur.
Well, I want to throw in my first one, and when I play Elder Scrolls, I sneak. So I sneak, yeah. So I sneak around a lot, and I use a bow. I love ranged attacks. I love taking enemies off guard. So I'm going to deploy the best Pokemon for the job, Jigglypuff. Because I'm going to put everyone to sleep. And once they are down, I'm going to cut them and take their stuff. And Jigglypuff will be covered in their blood, but he'll still make them fall asleep. Oh, yeah, I'm going to have a hardcore Jigglypuff.
You're not kidding.
Raised on the wrong side of the tracks and all that.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to put the
top. Why is that Jigglypuff kind of shiv?
I mean, he's one part Jigglypuff, one part Freddy Krueger.
Ooh.
That's disturbing.
Nightmare in Whiterun.
Jiggly Stay Puffed?
Oh, yeah. But in all seriousness, I really would use Jigglypuff because I would put them to sleep while I'm outside the room, waltz in, unlock the chests, unlock the doors, take the, you know, learn the Word of Power, and walk right out the door again.
What if they're immune to sleep, like undead?
Well, then I'm screwed. Then I just don't know. And then I use the tried and true method of run away.
Well,
but
yeah,
most things in Skyrim are not immune to sleep, so I'd be fine most of the time collecting my apples.
Yes, I see we're trying to hoard apples, corner the market on apples.
That's right.
You mean we're going to corner it?
Yeah.
Apple, sorry. I had to redeem myself with a horrible pun. But no, I. What do you guys think about using Jigglypuff?
I think in certain situations it would be extremely useful.
and hilarious.
It'll be awesomely hilarious.
It's the most deliciously evil application of Jigglypuff that I have ever heard, and I commend you for that.
I'm picturing now. Jigglypuff with the typical Skyrim Nord helmet, which is just amazing.
Yes.
Horny Puff.
Josh, I just want you to know that you actually just gave me an idea for my second one, so I'm actually going to wind up throwing out the one I had picked for my second one for a different one.
All right. Well, who is it then?
Well, I do believe we still need to get to other Josh for his first. Oh, wait, you already did yours.
Yes, he did.
I did.
Okay, so everybody's done one?
Yes. He let the dogs out. Who? Sorry.
Okay, this is going to sound a little nuts. Butterfree.
Huh.
No, that is not a bad choice.
That's inspired, sir.
And here is my reasoning for using Butterfree. Okay, it goes through the evolution of Caterpie, Metapod, Butterfree. So it's going to learn String Shot. It's already going to know String Shot from level 1. Then it's going to go through Metapod, which isn't useful to me. But String Shot, Stun Spore, Sleep Powder, and Confusion. There's your moves right there.
I'm speechless.
Yeah, that's genius.
Because Sleep Powder, if it's not immune to sleep, you got him out. If it is immune to sleep, Stun Spore, or Confusion, or String Shot. You've got two immobilization moves, one sleep move, and one confusion move. You've got all your bases covered for types. And unless it's got like a mass immunity to pretty much everything, like it's like Alduin or something, you're more or less golden.
So,
and plus, it's all pretty and floaty, so nobody's going to expect it to just be like, oh, look how cute I am. Look how cute I am. What's my name?
Butterfree! That's right.
Josh, shut up.
So what you're saying is, if you paired a Butterfree with a Ditto, you'd be unstoppable.
Oh, God, yes.
You're done.
Game, set, match. I'm gonna take your stuff, and there's nothing you can do about it.
I'm like Hans Gruber, except it'll actually work.
Yeah, pretty much.
There. What do you guys think about Butterfree?
I think you one-upped my Oddish, and my Oddish is going to pwn you now. Suck.
I would have never thought of using Butterfree, but the way that Matt has explained it, it's beautiful, and also great potential for an equally as deliciously evil application of a Butterfree as Josh's idea with Jigglypuffs. So I tip my hat to you, sir.
I think I just out-jiggled Josh's pup.
Oh, God.
I think I may have the worst pun on the episode today.
That's it, man. We're firing up Red and Blue, and you're going to level up Butterfree, and I'm going to level up an Oddish, and we're going to settle this.
Oddish versus Butterfree. And
cool.
Josh is back after being so flabbergasted by that. The mental image of Butterfree jiggling my puff is going to stay with us forever.
I'm just
glad it wasn't
that.
A Wigglytuff.
I'm ignoring that. Total.
Hashtag got jiggled.
No, I start that for the record. No.
Josh, do you want to bring us back on track with another choice?
Yeah, this is a Pokemon theme, and you can't talk about Pokemon without at least spending a little bit of time on everybody's favorite Pokemon, Pikachu.
Okay.
Magikarp. No, but apparently they're very delicious at Ma Ketchum's.
That's right.
Well, a little bit of product placement there for you.
Magikarp and chips.
Yeah. Pikachu, number one. He's, of course, the poster child of Pokemon. He's also not really one that's going to, you know, steal the spotlight from you. He's adorable, so he'd be a great conversation starter, like icebreaker with the ladies, if that's your thing. It's medieval times, and most people are wearing armor that has metal in it, and he's an electric Pokemon. So it makes sense to have him on your team as well.
So if you learn the Force Lightning magic path with Pikachu, I mean, you could just go like through and just electrify everything.
Yes.
You go all Nikola Tesla on Tamriel.
Ooh, yes.
He'll just be doing the electric boogaloo up and down the entire coast.
Are dragon scales conductive to electricity? We're going to find out.
Will it zap?
So Pikachu is your portable taser. He's the cutest taser I know.
Yeah. Will it zap, though? What would you watch that on? Vow Tube?
That's right.
That sounds like a podcast we should do as a spinoff. Will it zap?
I'll get the taser.
Somebody find a Jigglypuff, poofy doll or whatever. We'll bring it in.
For the record, those things really hurt.
Yeah.
I believe that.
They hurt.
Pikachu was a great choice. I mean, it's the expected choice, but he really could be quite useful in most situations and clearly loyal. He clearly can be trained quite easily.
Mm-hmm.
You can even take it to the next level. Maybe Ash, through some portal, has fallen into the Elder Scrolls, has fallen into Tamriel. I think Ash and Pikachu could do pretty well.
I think they would get straight up killed in a week.
Yeah, I would have my concerns there because Ash would be completely clueless in real combat.
Yeah, I think he would get got. Like, his first night there, he would get got in his sleep and somebody would steal that Pikachu. And then Pikachu would go on a murderous rampage.
Well, I wasn't going to go that dark, but that is also very good.
You know,
but,
I also want to see Pikachu as a companion in Grand Theft Auto. Because he can hotwire anybody's car. And just steal it. Like, he can go and, like, this helicopter's mine now.
I need to get that Ferrari. Pikachu's just like, get the door open, I got this. just get me up under the dash.
Yeah, but then you could just use Ditto to copy...
Copy the key?
No, copy the car! Copy the car, dude!
So you're going to get inside your Ditto to drive it around.
With the headlights and grill would be Ditto's driving Mrs. Ditto. Face.
As if he wouldn't turn it into a tent or something if necessary. I mean, seriously. Turn it into one of the giants. Dragon. You got options. Mammoth.
Super Moon, Behemoth, Fallout. But
Yeah, you got options, man.
Rachel, who's your next choice?
Thanks, Matt. Thanks for that. Hashtag. Okay.
Well,
I was going to go for something cool, like Gyarados or Articuno or something, but screw it. I'm going to go with weird again because, well, I just want to. I'm going to go with Shellder, and here's why. One, I'm sorry. One of my favorite parts of the original anime was just the little Shellder going, Shellder! And
yeah.
Honestly, for being a little kind of creep thing, it actually has some really good moves. It actually gets, I just set it up, it actually gets Hydro Pump at level 61. And it doesn't need to be in water, like Matt said was the drawback of other water types. It actually gets Ice Beam, Hydro Pump, Whirlpool Clamp, Icicle Spear, like, it gets some good stuff. So, again, it's tiny, accessible, kind of weird. It does have a comedic factor, which, I don't know. I think it's cute and kind of strange, I know. But, I don't know. It's just, I think it would be fun to have one. And we can't all have Venusaurs or Gyaradoses or Articunos, the cool stuff. I would go, assuming, I assume in our world, we don't have literally the only Pokemon out there. So, it's not like I steal it from another game, plop it into Elder Scrolls, and that's the only thing I get. But I would definitely, at least for a while, I would totally have a Shellder.
That's a great pick. Josh, what are your thoughts on Shellder?
I like it. It's a very logical choice. It is good to have a water Pokemon on your side in Elder Scrolls for times when you do need to defend yourself in the water, which is typically your most vulnerable times, mm-hmm. for one. But it's very important to have a water Pokemon that can get out of the water, too. And so that's why Shellder is a pretty good choice to me.
Maybe in the same vein as Squirtle, maybe.
Right.
Yeah. Squirtle's a little more practical. I'll give you that.
Although we already have Squirtle who's washing Snorlax, so, you know, he's already occupied.
Yeah.
See, for me, with Shellder, the mental image I have for possibly the most hilarious way to use it, because this is just how I think. She just takes out the Shellder and just slides it across the floor, like down the hall into a room full of bandits. What's that thing? It just busts a bandit in the chest with Hydro Pump. this little tiny shell thing. Shellder! What? Boom! And they're busy panicking because they don't know what to do with this little shell that killed their leader.
They're like, what's a shell?
weirdo yelling in a foreign language that's throwing people up against the wall, busts into the room, and it's chaos. You've won that fight. You cast Confuse all on your own.
Yeah, you could just basically have a hockey stick and start chucking a shoulder around.
That's your melee
like
weapon.
Play like shuffleboard. Actually, when you said slide him down, I was thinking shuffleboard.
10 points.
I was really bracing myself for that one, Matt. I don't know if it's going to come through after the edit, but for the listeners, there was about 4 or 5 seconds of delay from between Matt's build up to him finally saying what he was going to do with that shelter. I'm very relieved that it had nothing to do
with the dramatic pause.
Yeah, and it worked very well. It worked very well.
Damn, Skippy.
I mean, there could be a lot worse applications for shoulder. And if you have them, listeners, please send them to us at bnqpodcast or to our email, bnqfeedback@gmail.com. So I want to introduce one more. And, you know, something I like in Elder Scrolls games, I like decorating my house. I like having a home that I can come back to after a long quest. But I also want something fairly unique. So here's what I'm going to do. I am going to choose Meowth. And I'm going to join the Warriors Guild, and we're going to go fight a lot of battles, and I'm going to evolve my Meowth, and then I'm going to cut his throat, and I'm going to have the only Persian rug in Tamriel.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's nice.
Although I was debating how we were going to get certain Pokemon to evolve if there aren't water stones and so on and so forth.
That's true. Listeners, I want to make clear that I'm not actually going to do that because that's a horrible use of Meowth version. I would actually, if I were going to choose Meowth, I would honestly join the Bard's College. And I would train Meowth to be a bard and use him as a distraction on the battlefield. I would have him like the Taunter in Monty Python. And just sneer in their general direction. And it might work. Who knows? You find a particularly testy bunch of bandits, you find their weak points, and you go off Freudian on their ass.
It would be very helpful with your stealth missions, that's for sure.
Can Meowth keep his mouth shut? I don't...
Well, it depends on if you have a regular mouth Meowth or the, you know, Team Rocket Meowth.
That's true.
Yeah, the Team Rocket doesn't... I think he actually has to talk in order to breathe.
I believe that.
Although he does qualify as fuzzy, which has been our main criteria so far, I feel like. So, aside from Butterfree.
Butterfuzz, just not always.
True.
Yeah, but what if you accidentally touch it and it had Stun Spore ready?
That's on you. It's your own fault.
You know, I want to introduce one more general question to you guys before we end, because we're getting to, you know, at that time. Before we get to our final decision, I want you guys to quickly decide of the starters in Pokemon, which of the 3 starters in the original generation would you want as your starter in the Elder Scrolls?
Bulbasaur? Bulbasaur, hands down.
Bulbasaur.
Alright, Squirtle for me.
Squirtle?
Always Squirtle for me.
Nobody.
Bulbasaur's got the prehensile vines.
Nobody going with the fire type route.
No. Nope.
Interesting.
Well, I would love to see a Charmander silently assassinate 2 people at the same time via strangulation. Because that's what my Bulbasaur is an assassin. He's gonna come up to the door, slide those 2 vines under, and he's going to strangle the guards to death.
I'm glad that's where you went with the vines. Just throw that out there. No.
This is not a hentai.
I know. Well, I'm glad I didn't bring up Lickitung earlier, and I just...
I'm not touching that one.
I don't want to touch it either.
I play Pokemon. I'll touch that one. I play Pokemon Go. I have a Lickitung named Gene Simmons.
Where'd you find it? Where did you find it?
Actually, just randomly appeared at my workplace.
Okay. Because I got a story about something I'll tell you about later.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with Bulbasaur. I like Squirtle a lot, but I'm gonna go with Bulbasaur.
Right.
And I think I would go with Squirtle of 3, but I was almost leaning to Charmander until you told me about these things. I've reconsidered. Just because Charizard's so powerful that I don't care that he'd be, you know, looked on as a dragon, he could do some damage.
Oh, yeah.
So, I think it's the time. We've had a lot of Pokemon offered in this show. I think we know the obvious best choice is a Snorlax that can block the cave entrance. But beyond that, I mean, obviously. But beyond that, we're going to go down the line and pick the one that anyone's mentioned. Doesn't have to be one of your own nominees as your best pick. And if you need to have it as a team, you can pick two as a team together if you think that's the best route. Matt, I'm going to start with you.
You know, I came into this episode dead set. I'm going with Ditto. That was my mentality coming in. But I think I have to give it to Butterfree.
Awesome.
Nobody's going to see a Butterfree coming. Well, I mean, they'll physically see it, but they're not going to expect it.
You couldn't have a butter choice.
I'm going to slap you.
Hey, he picked Jigglypuff. Jigglypuffs have slap.
They do. Rachel, which one is of the ones we mentioned is your final choice?
Well, as much as I like Shellder, and I do, he is kind of questionable. With the same idea of Matt settling for Butterfree, I shouldn't say that.
That's how you feel.
Deciding on Butterfree, I'm actually gonna go with my original choice, Oddish, because it is more multi-purpose, and he's kind of squishy. And if I got lonely, I could hug him, and I like a little stuffed animal. And screw it, I like that kind of multi-purpose as a companion. As a familiar type,
and you could
it
also
wouldn't carry my boots, but that's okay.
You could also open your own your own build an Oddish workshop as a franchise and make some money as a side.
Yes, I could definitely do that. I hope he grows in a somewhat frigid environment.
So he'll stay up in Winterfell in that area.
Yeah.
Josh, who's your choice?
So going with my theme of picking Pokemon that would be good, loyal sidekicks with lots of practical usage, I'm actually going to go with one that none of us have mentioned once. You want to talk about practicality? You can ride this Pokemon. You want to talk about being able to help you carry your things? This Pokemon can be a beast of burden if it needs to be. Me being a big physical warrior, this Pokemon also does have some magical powers. Who needs Shadowmere when you've got Rapidash?
Yeah.
Nice.
I will come riding in on a flaming horse, and everybody's going to know my name.
Say my name.
Guy who's currently on fire?
No, we seriously.
Have fire-resistant armor.
When you said Arcanine earlier, I was man, he's going to mention Rapidash, didn't he? And then you didn't do it, so there you go. Yay.
Coming out of left field, Rapidash.
Rapidash was my hands-down choice this whole time, actually.
He had him in his pocket for the end. Well done, sir. And I think, as barbaric as it is, I'm probably going to stick Jigglypuff because I love the idea of using him as to put them to sleep and they're never going to wake up. It's just going to happen.
It also would help if you had insomnia.
That too. You know, for all those nights when you have to make camp in the hard ground, it'd be nice to have a friend put me to sleep.
I really think, though, that if we did do the getting to Ditto plus Butterfree is like having the game on God mode.
Yeah. Ditto plus any of the ones we mentioned would be pretty darn epic.
Yeah, I would do Oddish and Rapidash, but I'd have to keep them separate, so he didn't actually toast my little friendly buddy.
It's like a s'more!
So you don't get a fried Oddish?
That's the new special at Ma Ketchum's!
Oh, God.
What I was going to say about Jigglypuff, Josh, was that if you do use him to as a personal sleep aid, you will wake up with strange markings on your face the next morning.
Oh, yes.
Only
correct.
Known Sharpie. It will be the only known Sharpie in Tamriel.
That's true.
I'm okay with this.
Okay.
Out, damn spot. Out. No. On that note, so we've got four pretty good Pokemon. I think, you know, we have a team we could put together now.
Yeah.
Of Rapidash, Jigglypuff, Oddish, and Butterfree. And I think against Alduin, those four might win. We'll see. Of course, they have to know to keep fighting once there's an X on their eyes, because Elder Scrolls, that means nothing. But, you know, we'll have to just train them on that. So, I think we have to get busy training up our Pokemon for their next adventure in Tamriel. But before we go, I want to thank you, Josh. I want to thank you, Rachel. I want to thank Matt. All three of you have been awesome on this episode. But before we go, we have to kill the one thing George Lucas made that could have been a Pokemon, but was much worse than anything Pokemon ever created. We have to kill Jar Jar Binks. Matt, how are we going to kill him tonight?
Well, Josh, tonight, Jar Jar Binks met his demise being stepped on by the Ditto Alduin.
Ooh. Was he then cleaned up by the Squirtle that washes Snorlax?
No. Even Squirtle has standards.
On that note, thank you all, everybody. I am Josh, signing off on this B&Q episode 13. We'll see you next time.